Zach Cohen joins us with Bloomberg Government, and he really focuses on congressional leadership and, you know, the back and forth of Washington. Zach, I want to go to someone like Speaker Pelosi. She's been at this a long, long time, like chair of the California Democratic Party for pushing 40 years and, you know, on and on and on. Nancy Pelosi has never seen the images and photographs out of Ukraine that we've all seen in the last 48 hours. What does congressional leadership and Congress do to change the debate in America about the atrocities that we see in Ukraine? How do they speak to their president?
So I think a lot of this comes down to, you know, first, Congress has done a good bit already. I think they signed off on something like $13 billion in lethal and humanitarian aid for Ukraine. I think that the sort of bipartisan, widespread understanding that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a global game changer and something that requires right. American action. The question going forward, of course, is, you know, can they do other things like repeal normal trade relations with Russia, right? The kinds of things that are actually in Russia's purview. But I think Pelosi and others right. sort of agree at this point. A lot of it is kind of in Biden's camp at this point.
We spoke to Ambassador Bolton yesterday, and he's always, you know, people support him. He's hugely contentious to others. And he alluded to the fact that Washington, Zach Cohen, your Washington, is overemphasizing the fear of World War III. How does that play in the halls of Congress? What's the body language in Congress to someone like John Bolton saying, you're way overdoing the fear of World War III?
I think there's probably some that might agree with that. There are certainly more dovish members, both, you know, Republicans and Democrats, you know, who might say, you know, we don't want to get involved in sort of these global concerns. But I think most members of Congress sort of understand that the invasion of an American ally right on the border with NATO. And I think it's not, you know, Ukraine obviously is an important country, but I think the realization that this could escalate into a war with NATO is something that's very much on lawmakers' minds. So they're always very adamant, you know, we don't want World War III. We have to be careful about not instituting, you know, a no-fly zone, which they would basically be tantamount to that. So lawmakers are very cognizant of the fact that, you know, it's something to try to avoid as opposed to something that's inevitable.
So, Zach, just give us a sense. You know, you're down in D.C. Is Congress supportive, broadly defined, of this administration's handling of the Ukraine? Because, as you mentioned,
good question.
Nobody wants a World War III, but, boy, those images are really tough to take over the last, you know, really 2 months, but certainly the last several days.
Yeah, the vast majority of lawmakers are, you know, support what the Biden administration is doing. A lot of Republicans have said we would have actually liked to see him do more of it earlier in terms of mm-hmm. getting some of these weapons directly into Ukrainian freedom fighters' hands. But certainly, you know, sort of the broad mandates of, you know, vast sanctions on the Russian market in terms of getting the Ukrainian soldiers and Air Force the weapons and the planes that they need, that's something that pretty much everybody's in agreement about. It's really just a question of, you know, Republicans wanting to make sure that Biden doesn't sort of hold on to any sort of ability right. or advantage, so to speak, on foreign affairs going into the midterms.
Speaking of the midterms here, what is the expectation now? I'm sure it's going to change 1,000 times between now and the actual elections, but are folks in D.C. bracing for a change, an ascendancy of the Republican Party within Congress?
I think you got to hand the advantage to Republicans for both chambers at this point. Both
really,
of them,
for Republicans, the Senate as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Republicans only need to net one seat. And, you know, of course, I could go state by state and talk about how
we don't have time for that.
Doing. Exactly. But, you know, it's very narrow. And in these midterm elections, the president's party typically loses seats. And when you have literally zero margin for error, I think you've got to give the advantage to the out party, especially given the fact that President Biden's approval ratings are pretty low, given the sort of modern trend that we've seen.
Can they do legislation before the first Tuesday of November?
Of course.
Can they commit legislation, as they say?
Yeah, the big bill, I think, to watch is going to be this sort of bipartisan innovation, technological manufacturing bill that goes by a bunch of different names. America Competes and U.S. Innovation and Competition Act. Endless Frontier is my favorite.
Endless Frontier.
Exactly. And that would be a quarter of a trillion dollar investment. In domestic manufacturing, technological innovation, it would be pretty historic, especially as it comes to like semiconductor manufacturing, which we all know is important. And so that's certainly a bill to watch. And they're working on some other things as well.
Okay, I got to leave it there. Zach Cohen, thank you so much. Really nice updates.